Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Taking It Outdoors. I'm your host, Jeremy Newman, and this is a brand new show here at 92.5 WBEE, where we are all about outdoor recreation. I'm talking hunting, fishing, camping, and anything and everything in between. If it happens outside and you have fun doing it, I want to know about it. Reach out to me, Newman@WBEE.com. You can even go to the Bee's Facebook page if you have an interesting hobby. Let me know about it. This program is made possible by Johnston RV Country, 28 years of creating generations of family fun in Webster, Palmyra, and at JRVCountry.com. Lakeland Equipment, your trusted John Deere dealer. Victor Chevrolet, Route 96 in the heart of Victor. Flaherty's and Bill Gray's Restaurants. On the program today, very excited, we're going to welcome into the studio Tom Baker from Traditions Archery. He is here to discuss new compound bow technology, what's new in the field of broadheads. Tom runs the archery shop in Henrietta, Traditions. He will be our first guest today. We're not all about hunting today. Captain Ken Strimple will join us. He's the host of Let's Catch Fish on our sister station, 95.7 ESPN. He is a local drift boat captain, and it is time. The early stages of the fall salmon run is here. So we'll definitely have a conversation with Captain Ken about that. Also on the program, Tim Andrews grew up in Holly. Tim is the host of Rush Outdoors. He's a member of Team Realtree, and we're going to talk to Tim about the differences and whitetail behavior no matter where you hunt. If you're close to an urban property, if you hunt rural farming property, anything and everything in between, the deer act differently, and we will have that conversation with Tim Andrews coming up. But Tom Baker, welcome to the studio from Traditions Archery. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Traditions Archery, super easy to find. It's over by the DMV, Suburban Plaza. Got an indoor range there, and the spectrum of products you sell ranges from what to what?
We sell everything from Bowline's Mission, Matthews, Hoyt, Elite, and then we sell Mission crossbows along with 10-point crossbows.
You know, everybody's rushing in last minute to the archery shops. I'm surprised you even had time to come in here today. Why do bow hunters wait till the last minute to get their bows ready?
October 1st changes every year. Honestly, I don't know. It's just the nature of the beast with the industry. They, you know, I've had people open up their case the day before the season, notice that their string's broken, come in. Hey, I need a new string. Well, you're going to have to wait a couple days.
Yeah, bow hunting and hunting in general means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. My season's year-round. I'm shooting my bow at the end of June. I'm in the backyard getting practice. But, you know, I'm a single guy. I don't have kids. I have the luxury of time on my hands, so I definitely keep that in mind. But when it comes to the new compound bows, the ones you're selling, how have they changed, the bows that are on the shelves at your store today versus the bows of, let's say, 5 years ago?
I would say the biggest thing that you're going to notice is the back wall, which that what I mean by that is when you go to full draw, the bow doesn't want to creep forward on you. So if you notice, probably when they only had 65% let off, you had to hold more weight, you know, at full draw, where now you have 80-85%, and the back wall is more solid, so it has a deeper valley. So if you're holding on a deer long enough and all of a sudden it has to like move behind a tree, that you can hold it there longer, and it, again, the bow doesn't want to go forward on you.
What makes it do that? Is it just an extra, what, I don't know, forgive me, I don't know the terminology, but one of those little knobs that are on the cams?
No, it's actually how the cam is designed, and also on some of the bows, they put draw stops on them now, so you can, you know, hit the limb with that, like the Elite series, or on the Matthews, they have it so it hits the cable.
A high-end bow today is throwing an arrow how fast?
Average speed's probably right around 330 to 340 IBO. And what I mean by IBO is that's at 70 pounds, 350 grain arrow with a 30-inch draw length.
And how does that stack up to a bow just 5 years ago? How far along has the technology brought us?
I would say speed-wise, they haven't changed that much. It's going to be more efficient. The bow's going to be quieter. It's going to have less vibration in it. They're going to be more parallel limb design. So you're going to notice that the riser's longer, but the limbs are more compact. So it's got more preload to it. So when the bow is fired, that the vibration's going up and down and not out into the riser.
He is Tom Baker, owner operator of Traditions Archery in Suburban Plaza, super easy to find in Henrietta, right next to the DMV. You're listening to 92.5 WBEE. This is Taking It Outdoors. We do it every Sunday morning, 1 hour devoted entirely to outdoor recreation. Now, it's bow season starts in less than a week, but, you know, staying on top of your skills as an archer, you know, sometimes it's hard to find a place to do it and the time to do it, but I want everybody to be aware that at Traditions Archery, you have leagues going year-round, correct?
We don't have them going year-round. We run them from January through April. And our league is more focused on 3D. So what we do is we have 30 3D foam animal targets that we put out, and we change the course setup every week, you know, anywhere from sitting, standing, kneeling, anywhere from 5 yards to 32 yards. We have stuff that goes from as small as a frog to as large as a mule deer.
And if you've never been to Tom's shop, Traditions Archery there, he's got a 30-yard indoor range. There's plenty of room. When you think of Suburban Plaza, you know, in your mind's eye, you're thinking all those stores crammed into one another. But when you open the doors to Traditions Archery, it's deceptive looking at it from the outside. It's way bigger once you open the door on the inside. So when he's talking about all these 3Ds, don't think you're going to be in a hallway shooting. There's plenty of room for you to fit all this stuff.
Yeah, it's 26 feet wide by, you know, 90 feet just for the range part.
Is it a competition-based? Obviously, it's a league, but are people shooting for money, or are they mainly there for camaraderie and practice?
Most are there for camaraderie and practice and just out to have a great time during the winter.
We talked about the evolution of bows, and they seem to change every year. At least the marketing seems to change every year, trying to get us off our wallets and buying a new bow. But what about what we're putting on the end of the arrows? That's something I'm always looking forward to every year. I've shot the same arrows for probably the last 4 or 5 years. I'm on the injections with the Deep 6 technology.
Yep, correct.
So I've been shooting those for a while, and I love them, so I'm staying with them. But every year I look for new technology and broadheads. What's the newest, greatest thing out there?
I would say probably for fixed blade, one of my favorite broadheads is the Q80 Exodus. And what I noticed with this, we did a ton of testing in the shop one night, because it's a blade that doesn't have any cutouts on it, and it's a shorter, wider blade. Tends to fly more like a field tip, and you don't hear any whistling going through the air, because sometimes a deer can hear that. So that's one of the broadheads that I definitely push, and that's what I shoot, and 4 or 5 of my staff guys shoot them as well.
Do you encourage people to mainly shoot fixed or mechanicals?
I prefer fixed blade only because, you know, with a mechanical that you can have, you know, just something possibly happen. For mechanicals, I prefer the Grim Reaper inch and 3/8 cut and the Rage Hypodermic. Also, another great one that's actually starting to really come on the market is anything by Dead Ringer.
Yeah, you know what? Not this past Everything Archery event, but the one a year removed, I think they were set up there, and a guy gave me a pack of the Dead Ringers. And I'm telling you, crime scene. I mean, this thing has a cutting surface, and you talk about flying true. I really, really enjoyed those. And Tom also, he mentioned the Grim Reaper mechanical for your compound bows, but Tom turned me on to the Grim Reapers for my crossbow. And you want to talk about something ugly going down. When you're firing that Grim Reaper broadhead, I just use the 100 grains. And it's got 3 blades on it, so once it hits, not only do you have the the punch of it, but the cutting surface of that thing, of the probably 7 or 8 deer I've taken with a crossbow with the Grim Reaper, I've never had one go more than 10 yards.
And it does some damage to bones, too.
You know, you're running your shop. You got to believe in the products you're selling. Do you actually test the broadheads as they come in?
Some I do. Yeah, we tested some out. Like I said, probably about a year ago, we tried out the traumas and see how they flew. And then one day we just decided to open up a whole package of fixed blade just to see what they would do as far as flight characteristics and sound. And there's definitely a difference between some of them.
I would imagine for a consumer, a guy like me or my friends, it's can be kind of pricey to buy a couple packs of broadheads just to shoot them through things. But what's the best? Like, if you really want to test your broadhead and your bow and your arrow all combined, and you're going to shoot through a piece of material, is it better to go plywood? I know some guys use folding chairs. Like, what's the best thing to use if you're actually going to do real research on these things?
Well, if you can get a hold of it, ballistic gelatin, but that's kind of expensive. I would say plywood would work. I mean, if you really just want to see what it kind of does to the, you know, the backside of the wood or whatever. I know if you really want to see some stuff, you can also watch it on YouTube. You kind of have to be open-minded because a lot of this stuff's going to be from the manufacturer. If you can find something that's like an independent study, that would probably be the best way to go.
He is Tom Baker from Traditions Archery. Carved out a little time for us here today and for taking it outdoors. Tom runs Traditions Archery, conveniently located in Suburban Plaza, right there in Henrietta, right next door to the DMV. Super easy to find. Opening day of bow season is less than a week away, and we will continue next with more from Tom Baker right here on Taking It Outdoors, 92.5 WBEE. People of Earth, welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. Good morning, I'm Jeremy Newman. This is a brand new show here at 92.5 WBEE, where we are all about outdoor recreation. No matter what it is, hunting, fishing, camping, anything and everything in between. If it happens outside and it's fun to do, we're going to talk about it right here on Taking It Outdoors. I'm not an expert. I am an enthusiastic student, and I hope we can learn a few things together. Still to come on the program today, we have Captain Ken Strimple, a local drift boat captain and radio host, is there to tell us about the early stages of the fall salmon run, but I am fully aware that the opening of bow season is just 6 days away. We will welcome to the show Tim Andrews, host of Rush Outdoors. He's going to tell us about the differences in whitetail behavior from hunting grounds near urban settings versus way out in the country, what we can expect from the deer in the different areas. But here in studio with me right now for one more segment, Tom Baker from Traditions Archery in Henrietta. We've been talking about new compound bow technology, new broadhead technology. I didn't ask you, it's your shop. What lines of bows do you sell?
We sell Mission, Matthews, Hoyt, and Elite.
Now, when it comes to those, the different brands of bows, is one really better than the other, or is it just the consumers build this sort of loyalty to the make?
Well, what we do when someone comes in and they really don't have brand loyalty to a certain manufacturer, we suggest trying every high-end, you know, if they're looking for a high-end bow, you definitely want to try all three of them. You know, you want to grab a Matthews, you want to shoot a Hoyt, you want to shoot an Elite. It's the only way you're really going to notice a difference in them. As far as anything being better built over the other, I don't see it. I mean, there is differences as far as customer service, maybe. But again, you want to come in with an open mind on really trying to figure out what bow feels the best to you.
So the technology may differ from manufacturer to manufacturer, but what about the result? When you squeeze your release and that arrow leaves the string, is there really a difference?
No, not really. I mean, the way the bow is going to feel to the consumer, the, you know, the hunter, the shooter, they're going to notice that difference. However, you know, as far as, you know, once you put the right equipment on it, once the bow is tuned, as far as accuracy, I don't know if you're going to notice a huge difference in it.
Yeah, it's always interesting to me. You know, I liken it to guys that are so loyal to the type of truck they drive. Like, I only drive Chevrolets. My granddaddy drove a Chevrolet. My daddy, all my uncles, Dale Earnhardt. I'm a Chevy guy. Well, I've only shot Hoyt bows. I have a Hoyt now, and my old bow was a Hoyt. But that's not because I think Hoyt's way better than any other brand. I've never shot another brand. I think at an event at your place, I shot an Elite bow in the past. I know I shot a Mission bow there in the past, but I was still making payments on the one I had. But they're all nice.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, they really are. That's one of the things, you know, again, that's why we, you know, if you came into the shop, we don't even have sights on them. And people are like, well, how come they're not set up? We're like, we're going to move a target up to you. And there's even some shops that actually blindfold people to try them because they don't want to know what bow they're actually shooting.
Now, when somebody gets a bow at Traditions Archery, you'll set them up. You'll adjust their draw length. You'll adjust their peep sight, and you have the range right there. Will you even work with them on getting that 20-pin squared away?
Yeah, correct. So what we do is we'll, you know, if someone's just coming in, we'll basically figure out exactly what bow they want to purchase, and then we'll go through all the accessories as well. And then what we do is we get the bow set up, and then we schedule an appointment. So they come back, and then they work with somebody one-on-one on actually, you know, getting the peep sight aligned up. We'll figure out what arrows will best match that bow, and then we help you get it sighted in for 20 yards.
Now, and you'll shoot it through paper, or are you a laser beam guy?
We don't really shoot much through paper just because there's a lot of variables that kind of come into play with that.
Is that antiquated? Is that an old way of doing it?
Some shops believe so. Some don't. It's probably 50-50 when it comes to that. It's great for target stuff, but for hunting, there's a lot of different things that kind of come into play. Hand torque's one of them, depending on the shooter. Arrow spine, that all matters when it comes to paper tuning. So it's really hard for us to kind of pinpoint unless we know that there's something really funky going on with the bow itself, and then I'll shoot it through paper to see what it's doing.
When it comes to sighting in, when you get your 20-pin set, okay, let's, for example, my bow, I have a 5-pin, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. I've never, in the field, I've never used a 50 or 60 pin. I've never had a shot longer than 35 yards in the woods. But I practice with it just because if I practice at 60, 25 is a piece of cake. That's my goal there. But when you set that 20 pin, the other should fall in place left and right, correct? And all I should be needing to do at that point is chase. Like if I'm going to set my 30 pin, just chase that pin up and down?
Yeah, that's correct. Unless your center shot on your arrow rest is off. And that's one of the things that we'll do is what I really prefer for tuning method is a walk back tune. So what will happen is if you shoot your 20-yard pin and all of a sudden you go to 30 yards and you leave kind of the one arrow that was in the middle of your group at 20 and you're still going to use your 20-yard pin, the arrow will drop a little bit and that will show you if it starts shifting left or right. And if it does, then you make a rest adjustment.
Now, say I get a new bow. Somebody comes into Traditions and picks up a new compound bow from you. You get them all set up. They go home and they practice. Maybe they shoot 100, 200 arrows to it. At what point should you bring it back? Because doesn't the string stretch and won't that tweak things just a little bit? Regular maintenance on it, what do you encourage people to do?
Yeah, I agree with that. After 200 shots, you definitely want to, you know, just bring it back to us. Let's just kind of go through it really quick to make sure that, you know, your knock point kind of stayed the same. Most likely your peep sight's going to rotate on you. That's normal with even like a new string that we put on. So we always tell people, you know, if it does turn, just bring it back into us. We'll fix it. And then I would say you're going to want to wax your string cables every 100 to 150 shots. And then we always tell people, you know, if the bow does get wet because you are going to be in the woods, let it dry off, you know, dry all the screws and bolts and stuff like that off. But then, you know, wax your string, you know, after that as well.
Do you apply that wax pretty liberally or do you try to get by with as little as possible?
You want to put it on just the string material part, not the serving, but make sure you rub it into the fibers. You know, take your fingers and kind of heat, you know, as the friction heats up, it's going to melt that string wax into the fibers. You don't want to leave it coated on there because it actually does the negative where it becomes abrasive and it can actually do more damage to your string.
And you put them on all the strings and cables?
Correct.
He is Tom Baker from Traditions Archery joining us here on Taking It Outdoors at 92.5 WBEE, a brand new program where once a week for 1 hour, we focus our attention on outdoor recreation from hunting to fishing to camping. Whether it's tents or RVs, we will budget time for conversation and education about your hobby. Little heavy on the bow hunting because seasonally, it's go time. You make hay while the sun's out. We're 6 days away from opening day. But Tom, kind of lighthearted as we approach the end of this segment here. First of all, thank you for coming in today. As we mentioned before, I know you're super busy at the shop. But when you work in an archery shop, like I got a buddy that runs a bait shop, tackle store, and he talks about the volume of liars and storytellers that come into his shop. Do you deal with that? Everybody that comes in, are they an expert or they have the hunt of a lifetime story they feel obligated to tell you and you got to sit there and smile and nod?
Yeah, I hear stories constantly. It's one of the things that, you know, just being part of the industry that you have to just grin and bear it. You know, in the back of my mind, I know I have, you know, so many bows to work on, but, you know, it's someone's telling me that they, you know, they missed the biggest buck of their life or this one got away or some farmer took over their property. So, you know, you have to kind of just be lighthearted and, you know, grin and bear it once in a while.
No, I know, man. I don't know what it is. I've been in places like, I mentioned my buddy that has the tackle shop. Everybody that comes in there wants to tell them about the one they caught or the one that got away. And they can't just tell you about the fish or the deer. It's got to start with, well, I woke up last Tuesday and I was thinking of it. You know, it just takes you way far behind. You know, you need some work done on your bow. I encourage you to go to Traditions Archery. Tom has been a great friend of this radio station for many, many years, a very valued advertiser and client, but I'm telling you, I've been to his shop. He's got a great range there. The selection is wonderful, and Tom knows his stuff. If your bow's even the slightest bit off, take him in there, let him watch you shoot it, let him see what you got going on. He can diagnose and repair and get you back up in that tree stand in no time at all. Again, Tom Baker, Traditions Archery, traditionsarchery.net.
Correct.
Online, and you want to give a phone number?
585-486-4145.
Thanks for coming in, man. Really appreciate your time. Now, get back to work over there. You got guys
all right
that need to get in the woods. Coming up, we have our next guest, Tim Andrews. Tim is a local guy from Holly, New York, lives out in Orleans County now, also works for the New York State Department of Corrections, but he is also a pretty prominent local television hunting host. He has his program Rush Outdoors. He's also a member of Team Realtree. You see him on the Bill Jordan shows, and we will join us next on the phone right here at Taking It Outdoors at 92.5 WBEE. Good morning. Welcome back. Segment 3 of Taking It Outdoors brought to you by Johnson RV Country. 28 years of creating generations of family fun in Webster, Palmyra, and at jrvcountry.com. Lakeland Equipment, your trusted John Deere dealer. Victor Chevrolet, Route 96 in the heart of Victor. Flaherty's and Bill Gray's Restaurants. Gang, this is a brand new show here at 92.5 WBEE. We call it Taking It Outdoors, and we are all about outdoor recreation. Hunting big game, small game, feathers to fur, fishing, camping, tents to RVs. If it happens outside and it's fun to do, we are all about it here at Taking It Outdoors. I'm not an expert, even though I act like one, I'll admit. I'm just an enthusiastic student, and I hope we can learn something here together. Want to thank Tom Baker from Traditions Archery joining us in the first segment. Still to come on the program to discuss the early stages of the fall salmon run happening right now will be Captain Ken Strimple. But first, happy to welcome to the program a friend of mine, ladies and gentlemen, from Rush Outdoors, Tim Andrews. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I had the opportunity to meet Tim several years ago at the Sportsman Show they used to do over at Rochester Tech Park. I think it's the one that went from the Dome over to Rochester Tech Park, and we've kept in contact ever since. Tim hosts a television show locally. It's on My18 and Time Warner, right?
Yeah, it's on. We're on 9 networks right here across regional New York. Also on the World of Rush Outdoors on the Hunt Channel on Dish Network. That's another 15 million homes.
guys, Tim is the real deal. He works full-time, if you don't mind me disclosing, with the Department of Corrections, but the man gets to travel across the globe going on just all sorts of exotic hunts. How does a guy from here in our area get the opportunity to become a pro staffer for Realtree, have their own hunting show like Rush Outdoors? I know you've been a part of dozens more, but how does that happen?
Believe it or not, I was a pretty lucky guy. In 1996, Realtree used to have a hunting magazine they put out in the spring and in the fall. They put an ad in there back then looking for local pro staff members and send a resume. This is before the age of the computers and send an email, so you had to actually write something and mail it in. And I mailed it in, and the girl got back to me like a month later and said, "We're overwhelmed with a response, you know, over 1,000 people." And she goes, "We're only picking a handful of people." And I thought, well, I'm out. And then Lucky Farm Boy from Holly got the call, you know, about 2 weeks later that I was picked. And just then, the first few years, you just stayed local, did stuff, local events. And then about 3 years later, they had me fly down to a show in Orlando, asked me to bump up to national and start traveling for them. So I took up the offer, and it just snowballed into so many things I can't even describe.
Now, everyone's running around the woods, all of us knuckleheads with the GoPro. I mean, you even got cameras mounted in your stabilizers now, for goodness sakes. But all these guys running around the woods with video cameras, what makes a good hunting show to be consumed on television? Because it's more than just capturing the harvest.
Yeah, I think to me, I mean, everybody's got their own opinion on that. I mean, you ask 10 people, you're probably going to get 10 different answers. Me, I like the story. I like the story of the quick travel to get there, you know, describe what you're doing, you know, show the lay of the land, whether it's in the foothills of Wyoming or the prairie of, you know, Dakotas, whatever. I like the story goes along with it and see the things that, you know, a lot of shows don't show the stuff that goes wrong. I mean, I've got a huge library of things that have gone wrong on video, and we show it because people, it's real to people.
I always respect when the television shows show their misses.
Yeah, we have it's funny you say that, on a segment of our show called Swing and a Miss, and I've been on there many times, and it's people that are our Rush Uncut crew. You know, it's an amateur version of our show where people join and they send their footage into us, no matter if it's catching a perch or shooting a woodchuck or whatever, and our editor Brian Kirby cleans it up. Also, we have people from that and our regular pro staff members, but we all miss. It's being human. So we have a segment show called Swing and a Miss. Victoria Furchow hosts it, and it shows misses, and it's one of our most popular parts of the show.
If you're just joining us, we're on the phone with Tim Andrews. You're listening to Taking It Outdoors, brand new program here at 92.5 WBEE. 1 hour, once a week, entirely devoted to outdoor recreation, and with bow hunting season, the opening of it just, next weekend, for goodness sakes. Tim Andrews is on the phone with us. He's the host of Rush Outdoors. He's on Team Realtree. Tim, I DVR your show. I'm not going to lie to you. When does it air live?
We are going to start season five is going to start this October on Time Warner Sports, a local around here. I believe it's on. We air on Sundays and Monday at 11 or 11:30 a.m. But we also, on all the other networks, times vary for what region you're in, so best to check your local listings.
Man, I missed it. Tim took me out opening day of turkey season. We had the camera set out. We were surrounded by birds. One was coming into the zone, but we just couldn't get it to commit. I was hoping that was going to be my premier debut on Rush Outdoors, Tim.
Yeah, it was a great hunt. Without killing a bird, I mean, we had those jakes come in that would not leave, and that Longbeard didn't want to come in. He was afraid he was going to get his tail kicked. So he'd leave, the jakes would leave, I'd call, they'd all come back in together. But it was fun. I mean, it's nice to get that kill on tape and all that, but it just goes to show you can have everything set up and it doesn't happen.
Oh, I didn't mean I was going to make the show for a successful harvest. I was going to make that episode of Misses you were just telling us about.
No, that's usually my spot. I usually get a couple on there. I mean, whether it's waterfowl. Matter of fact, the first episode of season 5, I don't want this to be a spoiler alert, but I did pull a miss off, but I reclaimed myself and made the next shot happen, and I took a great buck.
Tim Andrews is on the phone with us, the host of Rush Outdoors, a member of Team Realtree. His resume is a mile long. I could read it to you, but then we'd be out of time for the interview. Tim, bow season opens up October 1st. Now, hunting whitetail during archery season can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. There's people that live here in the city. They have opportunities to do urban bow hunting. There's people that live in the suburbs, your Churchvilles, your Wheatlands, your Rigas, your Livonias, like where I live, Avon areas. And then you got people that live way out in the sticks, in the farm country, in the rural country. What are the differences, if any, that you can tell me about deer behavior in each of those areas?
And they're all a little bit different. I mean, when you get the farmland deer, I mean, they're used to seeing that tractor or combine driving down the laneway. They'll tolerate it a little bit more. As where if you showed up with something like that in a suburban area, it might be a different deal. I mean, when you get into suburban deer, or I call with the on the edge, it doesn't make a difference if you're hunting Grease, Bozone, or Penfield. There's that little strip where suburbia or city meets country, and it's an overlooked hot spot. I've got a spot in Grease that I just acquired this year to hunt, and I've got a trail camera out on that. I've been watching it. I've been excited about it. But sometimes the deer, they're going to tolerate, you know, they're going to see that same lady walking her dog in the morning, you know, the garbage man coming through, you know, the kids playing in the backyard. But they're still not dumb. I mean, they're still, you just have to, the biggest thing is you got to play your scent.
Are they entirely, you just mentioned scent, but are they entirely immune to noise pollution as well?
To an extent. I mean, when I hunt, like, and it even doesn't make a difference, like when I hunt out west, I mean, if I tried to walk into this one haylot in Montana, the deer in the field, they're going to run and scatter and not come back out. I asked a rancher to drive me out in his pickup truck, and he'll drive me right up to my tree stand where I'll literally step from the bed of his truck onto my ladder and up the tree. He drives away, the deer come right back out. It's just they're used to seeing certain things. They get adjusted to it. But they're not, like I said, when it comes to our human scent, they're not going to play.
Tim, I want to thank you for your time today, but before I let you run, I want to ask you the same question I asked Bob Folkrod when he called in and joined me last week. How do some of our biggest stud bucks here in Western New York stack up against those we see harvested out of the states like Iowa, Illinois, you know, the ones known for the big bruisers? We can't be too far behind, right?
We're not. The biggest thing is, and I'm not going to, you know, point fingers, but our problem is we open up our gun season during the rut, where you look at the big states of Kansas, Iowa, they don't open their gun season until around the first week of December when the rut's over with. We open ours up right in the middle of the rut and let it run 3 weeks, and every deer is more susceptible to getting shot. That's why they grow the big deer herds. Ohio, another one, Monday after Thanksgiving. I mean, you look at some of the big buck states, find out when they're opening a gun season is, and you'll see why. And New York, just, they're not going to change it. So I guess, but we do have big bucks. There's no doubt about it.
He is Tim Andrews. The show we're talking about is Rush Outdoors. I suggest you watch it. He's a local guy. It's a local show that has grown. It's on regionally, and it's just receiving more and more momentum. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, Tim. I appreciate you breaking us off a little chunk of your day to spend it with us here, taking it outdoors. Again, My 18 Time Warner Sports Channel is where you can find Tim's show, Rush Outdoors. And Tim, this is just our second episode, but is it all right if I keep your phone number handy for the future?
Jeremy, you can call me anytime. We got to get together again for another hunt as well.
You got it, man. Thanks for your time. Be safe and good season to you.
Okay, buddy.
Coming up in the next segment, we're talking about the early stages of the fall salmon run with local drift boat captain Ken Strimple. That's next right here on Taking It Outdoors, 92.5 WBEE. Six more days, only six more days until bow season opens. Good morning. Welcome back to Taking It Outdoors. I'm your host, Jeremy Newman. This is a brand new show here at the Bee, and I'm happy to be a part of it. We're all about outdoor recreation. hunting, fishing, camping, four-wheeling, ATVs, canoes, kayaks, anything and everything in between. If it involves getting off the couch and playing outside, this show will be a forum for it. I act like an expert 6 days a week, but here with you on this program, my goal is to be an enthusiastic student, and maybe we can learn a few things together. This program is made possible thanks to some fine sponsors, such as Johnston RV Country, 28 years of creating generations of family fun. They're in Webster, Palmyra, online, jrvcountry.com. Thank you to Lakeland Equipment, your trusted John Deere dealer, Victor Chevrolet, Route 96 in the heart of Victor, Flaherty's, and Bill Gray's Restaurant. Earlier in the program, we had Tom Baker talking new compound bow technology, broadhead technology. He owns and operates Traditions Archery in Henrietta. So thank you to Tom for joining us. Thanks to Tim Andrews, host of Rush Outdoors. He was a fountain of knowledge for us. But it's not all about archery season today. I know a lot of people listening love to chase the salmon and trout around, and the early stages of the fall run is happening right now. So I'd like to introduce you to my friend, local drift boat captain and radio host. He is Captain Ken Strimple. Let's get right to it. What are some tips you can give people that they can go out on foot, on a pier, or from shore and have a great shot at catching a king or a trout?
I would just encourage people, go out to the Somerville Pier, you know, go park at the fishing access area over by Laughlin's, hike down the path, get out on the pier, get yourself some little Cleos, get yourself some Kale Wobblers, get some moonshine lures. The moonshine is exactly what their name is. They shine. And if you hit them with a bright light, they will shine for an hour. Get some scent. Get some smelly jelly, crayfish scent, stuff that will stick to the lures, and put them out there and just, you know, let them flutter down to the bottom. A lot of times the fish will hit them while they're falling, but or while they're cruising along, they'll come along these, you know, these lures, and they'll hit them. And then once they get down to the bottom, on the spoons, slowly retrieve them in. Don't go quick. It's a nice, slow, steady retrieve, just fast enough to get the thing to wobble. Don't get discouraged if you don't catch something, because I will tell you right now, we have on our show, Let's Catch Fish, we give out weekly fishing reports. And one of the guys that gave us a weekly fishing report on our show was talking about seeing maybe 7 fish being caught throughout the night on average. So before, you know, up till midnight, and then how many are being caught after. And then the techniques from using egg sacks to using skein to the spoons to during the day using inline spinners. It's disinformation is good stuff. And you don't need a boat to be able to do this. You can just go right out on the pier. These guys they have lanterns with them. It's cool stuff.
He is Captain Ken Strimple of Bayside Boat and Tackle. He also hosts Let's Catch Fish at our sister station, 95.7 ESPN Rochester. I'm a bass guy. You know that. I know we're knocking on the door of the salmon run. This is the beginning, if not the pre-beginning. What's the window like here? How long are these fish going to be coming in stages, making their way into spawn?
Well, we just had, it's funny that you mentioned that, we had a Department of Environmental Conservation officer that is actually oversees Southern Lake Ontario, and he was explaining that. These phases start usually like middle of September, but the main part gets going in October. So the month of October, if you want to go out and catch the biggest fish of your life, you know, especially around here, you want to get out in October. But if you get out like today, you know, after, you know, of course, listen to the end of the show, but then go out and grab your fishing pole and go out to the pier, go out and start, you know, casting inline spinners, try, you know, get stuff in green, get stuff in orange, get stuff in pink. You know, get blues, you know, try different things. And, you know, after 10 to 15 casts, change it up.
Am I wasting my time if I'm going to the creeks right now, or should I stay out on the front parts of the piers?
The creeks are usually the last to get the fish. So if you're smart about it, you'll go to where the bigger bodies of water are, because there's more flow. You can go there, and plus what they do is they stock fish out of Shumway Marine. They do a fish stocking program where they put hundreds of thousands of fish, salmon and steelhead, in every single spring, and after 4 years, they come back by 4 years. They come back and they spawn.
He is Captain Ken Strimple of Bayside Boat and Tackle, local drift boat captain, does some salmon and trout charters on the Genesee River and all over our area, actually. If you want to reach out to him, it's easy to do. You can go to letscatchfish.net, and his information is super easy to find there. Now, this program, Taking It Outdoors, by the way, brand new to the Bee. We started last week. Our goal here, Captain Ken, is to focus on all-encompassing outdoor recreation. I mentioned before I've been a little heavy on the bow hunting because the season opener is next weekend. I know we're knocking on the door of full-blown trout and salmon season. That's why I wanted to reach out to you and give an opportunity for the salmon chasers, the silver chasers of the world, to get a little information there. But we also cover boating. Boating is a huge recreational venue here in Western New York. And if you don't own a boat, maybe you've been on the fence thinking about buying one, there is still time for you to test the waters, if you will. Captain Ken has a boat rental program. You can take the family out on Irondequoit Bay, even up the Genesee River. The water's still warm enough to tube if you want, but forecasting in the weeks to come, think about romance. Think about just enjoying nature. When the foliage starts to come, how beautiful is it to take one of those boats up the Genny?
When you go up the Genesee River, I promise you, you will not even realize you're in Rochester anymore. You would think you're in Colorado. It's just, you're in a gorge. The rocks are red rocks. We're so used to being in the city. But it just, guys or ladies, put a picnic together, get one of the pontoon boats. They have wireless Bluetooth stereo systems. For the guys, they have fish finders. Bring a pole. Take the drive, throw a line in the water. You just might catch yourself a king salmon.
Now, how far can you get those pontoons up the Genny? Can you make it to Seth Green?
Oh, yeah. That's where I want you to turn around, because I'm also a drift boat captain, and there's a lot of rocks right at the Seth Green Island area, and I know where they are because I've hit every single one of them, and they don't do the boats well.
He is Captain Ken Strimple of Bayside Boat and Tackle. You're listening to Taking It Outdoors right here at 92.5 WBEE. Captain Ken, I want to thank you for your time. Again, Captain Ken has a show called Let's Catch Fish on our sister station, 95.7 ESPN and AM 950. That's where you can catch him every Saturday morning. Thanks for your time. Tight lines to you, Captain.
Same to you, Jeremy.
Most importantly, thanks for tuning in to this new show. Again, it's called Taking It Outdoors. Every Sunday morning, 1 hour entirely dedicated to outdoor recreation, hunting, fishing, camping, everything. And it's all made possible by Johnson RV Country, Lakeland Equipment, Victor Chevrolet, Flaherty's, and Bill Gray's Restaurant. I hope the rest of your day is blessed and that you'll join me tomorrow morning with my friends Steve Houseman and TJ Sharp on the Bee Morning Coffee Club. This is Taking It Outdoors. We're 92.5 WBEE.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.